This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.
Radio you can touch.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
Who the hell are you? I'd rather go down to the barber shop and ask a guy about ready to get his hair cut what the urgency's like.
Lord knows we need family now more than ever.
Jeff Lutz.
I just don't want to indulge you and I'm the greatest thing in the world every time we're on the show. I'm not going to do that.
You're unbelievable. Judas.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
It's showtime, baby. You'll go wacko, but
that is
nuts, crazy, unbelievable.
Are you ready? Let's go!
We are back. Hour number two, the Bob and Jeff Show on KFH Radio. I'm Bob Lutz. In today for Jeff is Anthony, the big fella, making his fourth appearance, I believe, if I'm counting correctly.
You might be right. I'll trust your judgment.
Tomorrow, it will be Jeff and Jason Duda on the airwaves, as I will be absent. So not as good a show tomorrow, but hey,
that could be
scary. We'll be back Monday.
Do you ever hear how bad they talk about you when you're not here?
No, I don't. I don't listen.
You don't listen?
What do they say?
It's not good. You might want to listen.
Really?
I can't repeat some of the stuff.
Do they even?
Man.
Well, that hurts. That's one of my boys. Oh, well.
I mean, dude, he tries to deflect, but I mean, he pretty much just gets out the way and let Jeff have his way.
Whatever they want to do, it's fine with me. 869-1240, that's the IHOP hotline. We welcome your participation on, again, one of the slowest sports days of the year. This might be the slowest. Last night I had a WNBA game, at least. I don't think I got anything tonight. No.
Quiet whispers. The crickets.
We had the open, but it's done for the day. And so there's nothing on TV. I don't know what I'll do. Saturday, we've got the Team USA WNBA All-Stars at 7:30 on ABC.
I plan to watch that.
Sure. We're going to watch that.
Right.
For sure. Who's on those teams?
Let me see. I believe that on Team USA, I believe they have Asia Wilson, I believe, Brittany Griner, Diana Taurasi, some of the, I'm not going to say founding members, but some of the members that's been there for a long time. Of course, we know on the WNBA All-Star team, of course, it starts with Caitlin and Angel Reese. And
in all my years of doing radio, and there's been a bunch of them now, I don't recall talking, I don't recall talking about the WNBA until this year. I just don't recall ever mentioning it, anything happening in the WNBA that caught the attention of a national audience. Now, and that's not to say there haven't been great players. But for whatever reason, it just wasn't something on my radar.
I actually used to have a crush on Rebecca Lobo.
Really? Man, I know who Rebecca Lobo is. I watched her in college. But when she got to the WNBA, here's what happened in the rare instances when I would tune into a WNBA game, in a rare instance that it was even televised,
mm-hmm.
not usually televised, I would see nobody in the stands and no energy, and it just wouldn't captivate me.
And I think those narratives have changed.
Sure they have.
I mean, you talk about the people that flocked to the games and got the Caitlin Clark jerseys on, but attendance has been up even at other venues where there's not Caitlin Clark. I mean, when you look at the Chicago Sky, I believe they're averaging like close to 10,000. I mean, you get 10,000 for a game where before you was probably only getting 4,500. That's an uptick right there. A lot of teams are seeing upticks in their attendance. Now, I don't know what it was like last night seeing two teams on the bottom.
Well, they had a great crowd.
If it was Indiana, it was like tomorrow, my wife is going to take me to go see the movie Twisters. It's going to be must-see TV when Indiana's on.
So here's an example, and I looked this up. Atlanta, which is 7-17, played a game at Minnesota, which is one of the best teams in the WNBA, at 17-8. They played this game the other night, and it drew 15,000 people. That never happened.
50, see what I'm saying? Hey, now, let's add this.
That never happened.
Let's add this. You say there was 15,000, and Caitlin Clark wasn't nowhere on the court, was she?
No. That was last night.
Last night.
Let me look up a random game. Seattle and Los Angeles, which was played Tuesday night. Okay?
Okay.
This game was played in L.A., the Sparks and the Storm. And these teams were Seattle good, 17-8. The Sparks bad, 6-18. A home game for the Sparks. The crowd was announced at 18,000. Is that right?
They're drawing more than the men's.
Is that right? That can't be.
If it said it, it's true.
that astounds me.
And yet you will hear people say, I don't watch that. Somebody's lying. The numbers don't lie.
I'm checking another random game, okay? Chicago at Las Vegas.
Angel Reese.
Played on the 16th.
The defending WNBA champions.
Las Vegas, the home team. The game was won by Chicago. They're 10-14. Vegas at home, 16-8. The crowd, 10,396.
That's believable.
Does everybody just... Okay, here's Connecticut at New York. We talked about these two teams earlier.
Right.
They're the two best teams. They just played Tuesday night. New York won 82-74 at home. Again, they're fighting it out for the top spot in the WNBA. That game drew 13,694.
Somebody is watching. They're either going or they're watching.
What happened? Caitlin Clark happened. Angel Reese happened. The talk about women's basketball has elevated. They're getting their due. And when people tune in to watch now who weren't watching before, they like the product very much. They may like the product better than they like the men's product.
Well, let's just go back to the NCAA tournament, men and women's, and look at the viewership, the ratings. The women outdid the men not once but twice in a row.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. Here's where not being a sports columnist bothers me, because this is something I would have grabbed onto. I would have looked back at last year and what the average attendance was. I don't really have time to do that right now. I may try to do it at the break. Average attendance for the WNBA. But it's a little harder to do, right? Las Vegas last year was 34-6. I wonder what their average attendance was.
I'm pretty sure whatever you said their attendance was in their game last night, it would probably be hovering around that mark. I would say at least 8,000.
Average attendance right now this year is 9,311, which is the best attendance since the 1990s. Average attendance by team this year. Atlanta, only 4,600. So it's not, for whatever reason, Dallas, 6,000, although they had a packed house last night. Washington, 6,700. Indiana, almost 17,000 with a below 500 team because of Caitlin Clark.
Mm-hmm.
New York, 12,700. Las Vegas, 11,100. Los Angeles, 10,900. Seattle, 10,600. Phoenix, 10,400. Chicago, with Angel Reese, 8,719. Why hasn't she elevated that Chicago crowd?
Well, if you look at their attendance this year and look at their attendance last year, I'm pretty sure it has elevated.
Okay, so here's 2024. Right? That's what I just read. 2023, nobody averaged 10,000.
Exactly.
No team averaged 10,000 in 2023. This year, six teams are averaging 10,000. Indiana last year averaged 4,000 fans. They've elevated to almost 18,000.
Right. And can I tell you something? It's going to get better. And I'm going to tell you why it's going to get better. Because now people are starting to even watch the college game. If you want to say, it even goes down to the high school level, because I'm going to pick on Derby, for instance. When their season was over, a group of them hopped on the bus, went to check out Iowa State, Addie Brown. Now we're starting to know them like we know the guys. So we know them from the local level. We know them once they get to the college level. Now they're getting ready to go to the WNBA. Now we're starting to know them, which is mean there's going to be more viewership. Because
maybe
now we can relate to them because we know them now.
I get it, but I'm just going to say it. This is largely based on one player.
It may be largely based on one player, but now
she
we're going
to bringing
start
eyeballs to other players. Maybe that will be beneficial. Obviously, it will be beneficial to the league. But for Indiana to go from 4,000 per game to 18,000 per game, that's nuts. And they don't
they're
not even a contender. Imagine what they're going to have to build a new arena when they get really good.
Well, I even look at it like this. For a minute, they started out the season, they were like 2-9, 3-9, and people were like, oh my God, why come? She's supposed to be the savior of the team. Matter of fact, when you look at their fanfare, when she got introduced, they rolled out the red carpet, had all the kids there, had all the bloom, the pomp and circumstances. Angel Reese was the number 7 pick, and when they introduced her, outside of some media credentials and the coaching staff, that's all she had. The difference was Caitlin Clark is supposed to be the savior.
There was a game last year where the Indiana Fever at home had 2,400 fans.
That sounds like one of those Major League Baseball teams in Florida.
They never had more than 7,300 all last year. This year, their lowest crowd has been 15,022. Remarkable. It's just amazing to me. And we're witnessing something that in sports is unique, doesn't come around very often. And I applaud it. I think it's great. I like watching the WNBA. Not like I'm in front of it every night. I'm not gonna lie. I'm not gonna pretend. I'm not gonna embellish. But I'm more likely now to watch a WNBA game. I guess you can't go from never watched it, and I never watched it.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm watching it. Not every night.
It's captivating.
But I'll watch it.
It piques your interest.
Will I watch it when Caitlin Clark doesn't play? I'm going to give it a shot.
You will.
I'm going to give it a shot.
Next thing you know, you'll be calling me up saying, hey, buddy, let's go have a adult beverage or a beverage of your choice. Let's meet up at the bar. WNBA game is on.
I'll figure it out. Sad news. Bob Newhart has passed away at the age of 94. One of the all-time greats, comedians.
Great.
One of the great television personalities to ever live. And Bob Newhart has died at the age of 84. So we wanted to pass that along. Certainly sad news. We'll take a break now and come back and visit with Adam Teicher from ESPN.com. He's covered the Chiefs for a long time. This is going to be his final year doing that for ESPN.com. We'll get Adam's update on what's going on in camp with the Chiefs and what's going on with him. Stay with us.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
We have Adam Teicher from ESPN.com. We're going to talk about the Chiefs. Adam, I didn't mention anything in my text to you about you deciding that this is your last year of covering the Chiefs, but I just want to commend you for an amazing run, and it's been our pleasure, my pleasure, to have you on the show as often as we've had you, and just congratulations, man.
Well, thanks. It's been a heck of a run. I mean, it's been a wild ride, and it's hard to believe, you know, where the Chiefs were just a few years ago, you know, in the 2010s and the early 2010s, where they were and where they are now. It's hard to imagine they've become the franchise everybody else wants to be like. So it's been fun to have a kind of a front row seat for that. And to kind of see all that happen and be able to chronicle it more or less on a daily basis. And, I've always enjoyed going on with you, Bob. So it's been a lot of fun. And sorry to in a lot of ways that it's coming to an end, because I'll miss it. But time to move on to some other stuff at the end of this season.
Well, I got to ask, because I'm a curious sort, and I've certainly followed your career and at times that we've shared a press box together at Arrowhead Stadium. But what does it look like? What do you think you might do now?
Well, my wife and I are building a place out in Colorado, believe it or not. So we're going out there, and we're going to be moving out to Colorado, and so we'll be doing a lot of biking and hiking and playing in the snow, and might have a couple beers now and then, and a couple glasses of wine now and then, and it's going to be got some friends out there. So it's going to be a lot of fun. We're definitely looking forward to it.
All right, Adam Teicher, I guess that sounds obviously tremendous. So let's talk about the Chiefs. Training camp underway up at Missouri Western in St. Joseph, Missouri. The Chiefs, of course, as everybody knows, chasing a third consecutive Super Bowl, which has never been done. What are the question marks in the camp? And with a team like this, you have to look a little bit to find them, but every team does have them. What are they trying to answer in this training camp, Adam?
Well, the one emphasis they've made is trying to get the big play back in their passing game, and so we'll see if they were successful at that or not. Xavier Worthy is fast, and you know, can he help provide some of those big plays? He didn't practice much during OTAs and in the mini camp, so hard to get a much of a read on him there. So he's been out there working the last couple days, so see what kind of impact he has. You know, Hollywood Brown is obviously brought in to help with that, but you know, will Rashee Rice be able to play a full season, and what is his impact on that? So, it's definitely going to be an interesting situation in terms of how that plays out, and whether they can get back to having a passing game more like we know the Pat Mahomes Chiefs having, rather than what we saw last year. I just don't know that they can have as offense as inconsistent as what they had last year and achieve what they did last year. I think that's going to take I think that's going to be a big ask for them. So I'm really eager to see whether they can improve offensively and for a change, take some of the pressure off what they're doing defensively.
Yes, Mr. Teicher, this is Anthony. And you mentioned the two names, Xavier Worthy and Rashee Rice. And let's just address that, because it's looking possibly as if Rashee Rice might not play the whole season. So how much pressure is going to be on Xavier Worthy? And who are some of the other receivers in the receiver room that they can maybe kind of cover up, so to speak? Because, I mean, that's a lot to put on an incoming rookie.
Oh, no, it is. But, you know, the Chiefs are doing that themselves. I mean, Pat Mahomes, you know, when he showed up for camp the other day, was asked about Worthy, and he said, hey, there's going to be no easing him in. We need him now. And he's right. They do need him now. So you're right. I mean, whether it's fair or not, Anthony, they're going to ask Xavier Worthy to play a big role and not necessarily be the number one receiver or carry a huge load, but he's going to have to chip in. And, you know, you're right about Rice. He may not make it through a whole season. And if he doesn't, they've got Hollywood Brown, who they signed as a free agent. He's going to have to be a big part of this, too. There's no doubt. And if Xavier Worthy doesn't answer the bell, I mean, if he's not what the Chiefs hoped he can be as a rookie, and if Hollywood Brown doesn't have a big season, it's going to be difficult for the Chiefs to really achieve. I mean, there's a lot of pressure on both those guys, because, as we know, the wide receiving group was really disappointing last year, and the Chiefs need help from both those guys this year.
Adam Teicher is our guest from ESPN.com, longtime Chiefs beat reporter. Now, last year we made a big deal out of the strength of schedule for the Chiefs, and it turned out to be a difficult schedule, and they stubbed their toes some along the way during the regular season. Now, this also looks like certainly a challenging regular season schedule, as best we can surmise, given the prognostication for some of these teams. Open at home against Baltimore, then at home against Cincinnati, on the road at Atlanta, and on the road at the Chargers. Is it fool's gold to try to make something of a schedule, or is it legitimate to look at?
Well, it's hard right now. I mean, we think we know about these teams, but we really don't. And, you know, sometimes these things look difficult and don't turn out to be that way. Sometimes they look to be easy and turn out to be difficult. So I think you can't make too much of it. Certainly at the end of the season, you can look back and say, okay, this was a factor. An easy schedule was a factor for them, or a difficult schedule, whatever it might be. But I think right now it's all on paper, and you have to wait until the games are played and see who's available for which team and what things are looking like there. But it sure does look like a difficult schedule for them right now.
And I'll go again on paper. It's almost as if the Chiefs, and of course this is going to sound ridiculous, but the Chiefs aren't going to not win the AFC West unless something completely unforeseen happens. So they're basically playing the season for playoff seeding. Last year they showed that doesn't really even matter either, because they went on the road and won every game in the postseason. So the Chiefs are set, man. You're gonna be covering another team that's in the playoffs. How likely is it, Adam, that they can pull off this third Super Bowl in a row?
Well, since you're guaranteeing it, Bob, I'm going to go ahead and make my flight reservation to New Orleans right now. So if they don't go, you got to reimburse me, okay? Because ESPN won't cover it if the Chiefs aren't there. But, it's easy to look back at what the Chiefs have done over the last 8 years. They've won the AFC West 8 straight times, and you know, they've been to the AFC Championship 6 straight times now. And it's easy to look at that and say, well, it's going to happen again. And it's not that easy. And teams are really coming after them. And do I think the Chiefs will wind up in the Super Bowl again? I think they have a great shot, but I think there's some real danger in assuming things. And, you know, these things have to play out. I mean, there have been some of these years where some of the AFC West teams have really pushed the Chiefs in terms of the division race. It's difficult to see how that's going to happen this year, but you just don't know. And so much change going on within the division, particularly in L.A. What can Jim Harbaugh do for the Chargers? What they've not been able to do the last few years. So I think this thing's going to be maybe more difficult for the Chiefs than a lot of people think right now. Not that I'm saying they're not going to make it or they have no chance or anything like that, but I think this is going to be a more competitive season for them than maybe a lot of people see right now.
Yeah, it could be, and I'm keeping an eye on quite a few teams in the AFC, but I think the Chiefs are in pretty good shape to get to the postseason. Adam, it's always our pleasure. Thank you so much. We'll catch up with you as the season approaches.
Hey, anytime, guys.
All right, Adam Teicher from ESPN.com. Zach Bush with us, the coach of the Aftershocks. They get it underway at noon Saturday at Coke Arena. So, Zach, welcome. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, guys. I'm just leaving practice here. Just dropped a couple guys at the hotel and got some good work in today. So I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Good. Well, we're good. I was told by my son that he's already asked you this question, and I was not aware of that. So my apologies for asking again. But we have a much bigger audience when he's not on the show. So
exactly.
This will be brand new.
You got to ask it again. Yeah,
exactly.
I get it.
You understand. So you play Saturday at noon in your first game against another team here locally. Do you like the noon start, or do you wish you were playing the main event, so-called main event, that evening?
I despise the noon tip-off with every fiber of my being. And I would love the people of Wichita to know that I fought it and complained and moaned about it. And they said, sorry, you're one of our highest TV draws. We needed to get you on TV. The only slot we could do it was, 12, blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, that's great, but we're the big dogs. We're the main show. We need to be the prime time 7 p.m., and it needs to be the KU or K-State right before us. And they don't listen to me. I got all the great ideas, but they don't want to listen to me. So I complained about it on behalf of you guys.
Anthony is correct, because I thought I didn't necessarily know what you would feel like, but if I was a fan and I had the opportunity to go watch you guys play at noon, hang around for the K-State game, go out, maybe have a little dinner or a couple beverages, I could make a full day of that. But you're not buying it.
Right. That's exactly – that was my plan, too. And so I'm not the biggest fan of the way we've set up this year. But – thankfully, the way the schedule plays out after this, I know it's not a weekend, but at least after this, we're like a 7 p.m., 8 p.m. tip from here on out with, another game in front of us. So I know, just bear with us for a Saturday, and hopefully we get by that one, and we can have some fun at night.
There you go.
Coach, I'm glad that you agree with me, because me and Bob, as a matter of fact, I almost thought I was his son there for a minute, because we didn't quite see eye to eye. But I told him 12 o'clock does not make no sense to me. So I got to ask you this question. I know you coach the Aftershocks, but do you do any other coaching outside of the Aftershocks?
I do. I've been a high school coach pretty much since I've gotten out of school. So almost, five, whatever it is. I'm getting old, man. It's happening fast. But 5-6 years
you
now.
Scratch the surface.
But yeah, so anytime we play, midseason tournament, whatever, if we have the early game, every coach is the same way. We all look at each other like, oh, great, here we go. Like, something about just guys do not like playing at that time. And as a coach, you hate it. You hate watching your guys be a little lethargic and they're trying to wake up and the first half never seems like it's good. So hopefully that's not the case with us. But yes, I do coach. And if that's where you were going with that question, yep, as a coach, I've hated it, whether it's the high school guys I coach, I hated it as a player. I hated the early games in AAU in high school. So I think it's pretty across the board. Everybody is not the biggest fan. But, it's the cards we're dealt, so we'll make the most of it. And hopefully we get the fans out there. At least this way, they get a full day of basketball still. They just get to start with the dessert.
There you go. The Pride of Goddard, Zach Bush, our guest, currently coaching high school basketball in Omaha. Maybe he'll find his way back here someday. We'll see. So tell us a little bit about, we're familiar with some of the players on your roster, certainly all of the former Shockers. But as always the case, you've added some guys. Tell us about some of the newcomers and what we can expect from them.
Yeah, so two completely new guys that the fans have never seen. So last year, you know, we had Caleb Walker, who's, you know, a Kansas native, Hutch High grad, played at Butler for a couple years before playing at Nebraska. He played last year, so fans are should be a little familiar with him. You know, great guard, mature, veteran pro overseas. He played last year. And then Jordan Parks, who's a wing. He played with Marcus McDuffie in Italy a couple years ago. We had him last year. So then the two brand new ones are Jeremiah Martin, who's a Memphis grad. I know. Don't be too upset with me. Jeremiah is a stud, though. We've had our eyes on him for a couple years. He was absolutely torching us last year. He played with the Memphis alumni team, and not good for him, but good for us. He went down. He kind of tweaked an ankle, and he didn't finish the game. If he had finished it, I'm not sure we come out of there winning, but we were able to pick up Jeremiah because the Memphis team didn't end up playing this year. He's been awesome. He's kind of a co-lead guard with Connor. He's a lefty, can really score it off the bounce. Had a really good year in Russia this year, which is a really high-level league. So looking forward to having Jeremiah. And then the other newcomer is Jabari Narsis. Jabari's a big man, played at UT Arlington, and has now been playing in Japan the last couple years in a good league over there. He's about a 6'9 big, can stretch the floor and shoot it a little bit and hopefully give us some rim protection. But both really good dudes, and we're fortunate. Like, the fans have created such a great atmosphere that even the guys that come that didn't play here are always excited, and it's because of that. So we love that the fans wrap their arms around those guys and make them feel like honorary Shockers.
Coach, I'm elated that you got somebody from Memphis, because it seemed like here recently we've had a pipeline. We sent one back to Memphis who was basically like the coach's son. And then the past two seasons, we sent players to Memphis. So about time we get somebody from Memphis. And so I'm happy about that.
That was the brain behind the whole thing.
I want you to expound on that.
I was thinking that. It was just what you say. You know, I was thinking that the whole time. I've been scheming for years. How could I flip the script on him? And, you know, maybe this is the start of the new wave of Memphis to Wichita. You know, I don't know how thrilled the fans will be at first, but now it's tough, man. Losing, you know, Colby this year is certainly, I think, leaves a sour taste in your mouth when he's, you know, arguably your best player. And I think the fans really enjoyed watching him, the way he shot the ball. Seems like a really good kid. I don't know him too well, but obviously frustrating. But hopefully, I think Coach Mills is going to turn a corner this year. Just having watched practice yesterday, I can say it definitely looks different than last year's practices. It's more competitive. The group they've brought in is more talented. And I know fans get antsy, but you always got to remember guys have to have time to recruit. And when they take a job, it's, you know, those bridges and, or excuse me, those relationships that they built, you know, with previous kids, they can't always bring those to, you know, Wichita State. And so you got to give him that full kind of 2 years to get his recruiting cycle going. And I think he's already going to prove this year that he can recruit and bring in some talent. Now we just got to keep it at home.
How important is it? We're talking with Zach Bush, the coach of the Aftershocks. How important is it? No player nationally is associated with this tournament more than Connor Frankamp. How important is it for him to still be playing? I mean, I'm talking like he's ancient. He's 29, for crying out loud.
Right.
But to still be playing and still be contributing and still be a mainstay, not only on this team but in this tournament, how much does that mean to the TBT?
I think it means a lot. That's what builds TBT, is when you don't have just guys who play in it 1 year and then are done. Like Joe Johnson, you know, former NBA All-Star and, you know, long career, ends up playing a couple years ago. And those guys are cool, and they certainly add some hype. But I think what builds TBT and, you know, builds fandom is when you have these consistent guys that play year after year and that have a fan base, you know, that rallies behind them. And Connor has been that certainly for us and for TBT. I think fans maybe before that didn't know Connor have really come to know him through TBT. And, you know, he's been a beast in the Elam ending. It seems like the game plan usually is, once we get to that Elam, all right, just get the ball to Connor and you know, get out of the way, set a high ball screen, and let him go to work. So he's been awesome. I think it's been a lot of fun for him. And I've, you know, said this in other interviews. Connor had such a, you know, great high school career, and then maybe college doesn't quite go the way, you know, he hoped it would, and maybe doesn't get to display who he truly was as a player and what he thought he could do. This has provided an awesome opportunity for him to come back and do that because, you know, guys are sensitive to that. They want the city to be proud of them. They want the city to think highly of them. And so, you know, when the word is like, well, man, you know, Connor just, he didn't live up to the hype. And then now he has this opportunity to come back and show how great he is as a professional and has really hit his stride. So I just, it makes me really happy for him. You know, he gets to do that because I know it means a lot to him, and just to play in front of his family again and show how great he's become.
And he was on the show yesterday, and I told him, and he admitted it before I even said anything, that he needs to be more aggressive, right? He needs, last year he was a little passive, which is not his game. So more aggressive Connor is a better Connor.
Yep, absolutely. He's the guy, you know, if there's anybody on this team that has the ultra, ultra green light and, you know, 20-plus field goal attempts, it's him. And that's what we tell him. Like, last year we felt like maybe the reason we still won, I mean, three games last year, which, you know, a lot of teams in this tournament didn't. Right. But we felt like we never really played well, especially offensively. And part of that was, you know, we talked with him this summer about, we need you to be the true you. And that's got to be a guy who's aggressive and is, you know, creating for himself and others. And when he's that guy, our team's dangerous. So he's had a really good last couple days of practice, just even the weeks leading up to this. It's funny. He's, you know, sending me texts saying, hey, I'm in the gym. I feel great. I haven't felt this good in 2 years. So, you know, hopefully that's, you know, a good sign of things to come.
Zach, we really appreciate your time. Get the boys in early tomorrow night. We got a game at noon, my friend.
Yes, sir. I will do my best. Good to talk to you guys.
All right, Zach Bush, coach of the Aftershocks. Anthony, always good. Thank you for being in today.
Thank you for having
good
me
to
in.
See
we
you.
Need to do this more often.
You bet. Good to have the Anthony in today. We'll be back tomorrow. It'll be Jeff and Duda. I'll see you on Monday. Have a good weekend.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Draymond Green kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.